going to make a big impact on two schools, Sheldon Woods and Woodside. Great job. Would you please stand with me? Let's ask God's blessing upon his service and remain standing as we lift our voice in praise. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, again, this is the day that you have made, and we are here to rejoice and be glad in it, asking you, Holy Spirit of God, if you would come in your own special way and speak to each heart that is here, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes and our ears to your truth and the reality of your presence. May there be permission on our behalf to permit you, Father, to work deep in our hearts and our lives as you tweak us. And you mold us, and you shape us, and you make us more like Christ, to see things through the eyes of Jesus, to hear things as Christ would hear them, to respond to our world and not react to what is transpiring, but respond as Christ would respond, and the world would see the reality of Jesus in us. So for what you've done and continue to do, we give you praise and invite you to continue to help make us more like Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. All of God's people said, amen. Let's lift our voice singing, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky bear that sight, but downward bends His wondering eye at mystery so bright. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through Him given from yonder glorious throne. To Thee be endless praise, for Thou for us hast died. Be Thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. Sit down for the next one. Just have a seat and we'll continue singing, okay? One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, Dwelt among men, my example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. My sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord evermore. Living he loved me, dying saved me. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved ones will bring. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Dying he saved me, buried he carried. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious. Well, if you can do it right where you're sitting, just turn around and wave. Give somebody the West Olive wave this morning, okay? Good morning, all. Hey, Pete. Yo.
Technical challenge. Anyway. Announcements. The first one's about the backpacks, and it looks like everybody's got it, and we collected them.
Awesome job.
So,
my goodness. Wow.
And we are now going to be doing coffee and juice and cookies out by the front steps over here on the north side. So outside. For as long as the weather holds, we'll see how this goes. And there's an announcement in the bulletin. If you would like to help with that, we're going with Barton cookies because we felt that that way it would be a lot more sanitized. So if for some reason you'd like to help with, if you'd like to help with that, see Ashley, and you can either give her money or help her buy cookies or something. So we appreciate the help, and we're going to end. With everything going on in the world, we thought we'd do an end times study of prophecy. So if you're interested in that, there's an announcement about it, and please see the pastor.
The important thing on that is, one, it's going to be a Zoom-type telecast where the video, it's a video and a workbook coincides. And so we're planning on doing Zoom to teach the video and interact with one another. Then there's a workbook that's a $20 expense. So with that said, if you are very interested in being part of this thing, I need to know from you so I can order the appropriate amount of material. If you have a computer at home, that'll be awesome. You can jump right on there. And we're looking at the possibility, if you don't, to make it available here at the church up on the jumbo screen. But the only hold back on that is you won't be able to interact personally with the study that's going on, but you will see the broadcast of the video and be able to listen as people dialogue back and forth. So a whole new realm of things, but we're going to do what we can to communicate that, sensing that something like this would probably be better handled through a Bible study. And then ultimately, we'll see as God opens the door for preaching proclamation. So anyway, that's where we're at on that. So if you're interested, see me, personal message me, email me, let me know. I've already got one that said, Pastor, I'm in. All right, so plan accordingly for that. We'll make sure that you're facilitated with the material that you need.
Also, the new today's there, you can pick them up. And that's all the announcements.
As we now transitioning into a preparation for prayer, do you have any spoken requests this morning that you'd like known? Yes. What's your mom's name, Rachel? What was that? She related. I don't know. We must be different. Differently. Oh, I'm from the East Coast. So. New York. From what Gramp said, we came over from. We came across the pond. Okay, England is from what? Who knows? You know what? If we trace this thing all the way back, guess what? Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. How far does that go back, you know? Crazy thing, isn't it? Okay, we'll pray for Imogene this morning. Any others? Hands raised. You have the prayer request in the bulletin. Let's continue to pray to that end. Let's pray. Yes. Yes. How many folks we got in here affiliated with a school system? School bus drivers, teachers, substitute aides, put your hands way up. Look around. How many students do we have who are going back to school? Moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas that are taking care of those kids, put your hands up this morning, okay? Please, please pray for God's intervention and his divine hand upon this thing, that he would miraculously do immeasurably more than what we could ever think or hope for, to protect and hold in his care everyone affiliated with this thing. Let's pray that God would just move in a miraculous way in this school year. Amen. And amidst everything that's going on, as he has blessed us here in this little congregation, let's pray for the blessings to flow into our community. Amen. Amen. Stand with me if you would, please. Let's sing this song. Lord, I need you. Pray, church. Lord Jesus, as Matt Maurer has so profoundly put it, you, Lord, are our one defense, our righteousness. In you we live and we move and we have our being. Despite what is transpiring in our world and situations and circumstances that are going on, and each of us would admit for the most of the time, it seems pretty bleak. It seems pretty dreary. It seems problematic, burdensome. But despite what is transpiring in our world and the situations and circumstances, Father, in you we find life and we find hope and we find grace and mercy and love. And it's your Spirit that fills us and equips us, protects us, guides us, and directs us in the midst of everything that's transpiring. And Lord, for that we give you praise. You are our defense. You are our righteousness. And we praise you for that today. We come to this place exalting, worshiping you. We come to this place to make our requests known to you. We come to this place to hear the proclamation of your word, which is truth, absolute truth, applicable to all peoples, in all places, at all times. We come to this place to receive your blessing as you send us out once again to our responsibilities. As we come today, Father, we ask that you would allow your precious hand to rest on each person that is on our prayer request. Lord Jesus, we as individuals pray for those on a regular basis. Father, you know them personally. You know exactly what is transpiring. Father, would you be very near to them today, I pray, oh God. Encourage them and bless them immensely. Father, be near to Imogen today, Father, who is suffering. Touch her, help her, heal her, I pray. Be near to Charlie today, who is facing treatment for cancer. And as I'm praying for Charlie, I'm reminded of Marv Rinkema as well, Father. I haven't heard any specifics on a change of protocol, but God, you know what is transpiring in his life. Touch him and help him, I pray. Father, would you visit each precious one this morning whom you have brought to this place? Father, you know what's revolving in their world right now. Our children who are facing going back to school, those are who are connected to the school system, Lord Jesus, as you have protected this precious little body of believers through this pandemic, I pray that your blessing would just pour out in such an awesome way that nobody would be able to deny your very presence, Lord Jesus, in the hearts and lives of these precious children. May the wave of God's love move in such a way that their lives are transformed, that homes are transformed, that schools are transformed. And God, we would see a holy revival move in our community as you work to bring glory to Christ. So we stand in awe of you right now and stand in anticipation of the great things that you shall do, thanking and praising you for all that you've done through us. Fathers, we continue to pray. There are 40 plus backpacks up here on this platform that are going to go into the hands of needy children in our community. There's a little encouraging note in there from us as a congregation, wishing that each child who receives these blessings will have a phenomenal year. Father, would you allow 40 plus miracles to happen as these go out and are put in the hands of children in our community? May the Spirit of God just take these practical gifts of love and powerfully impact the lives of the children who will receive them. They are given out of hearts of love to bless the hearts and lives of their recipients. May it be so, I pray, as your word goes forth. Continue to bless this little congregation, I pray, for your glory, as we simply strive to become the hands and feet, the voice for Jesus. Continue, Father, to work all things together as you bring glory to Christ through this local ministry and the ministry over Facebook. And for what you're going to do, we're going to be mindful to say thank you right now. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. You may be seated. Well, I'm thankful that we have a few of our kids here today, and just a simple little note up there. I asked Ava if she liked that meme, and she said, yeah, that's nice. We've got a lot of gals in our congregation, young ladies. But the message is pretty powerful. Let's see if this thing makes sense. If the words I speak, children, if the words I speak are supported by the actions of my life, the words are truth. Does that make sense? If you or I were to say, I am a kind person, and I go out and I live my life in a way that communicates that I am kind, then the words that I've spoken are what? They're truth. That makes sense? Did you get that back there, Ava? Cool. It reached back there. On the other hand, if the words I speak are not supported by the actions of my life, the words are what? So if I say I'm a kind person, Bree, if I say I'm a kind person and I go out and I do things that aren't kind to other people, what does that say about the words that I've spoken? Lying. I like that. Thank you. And the last time I checked, God's kingdom is not fit for those who say one thing and do another. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's take it to heart. Lift this voice right where you're at. Just lift this song, Ancient Words, please.
Holy words
Well, it's another beautiful morning that God has given us to gather together here and just to give you some insight in how God is moving not only on this local, in this local setting, but out in the world. We had over 180 views of the baptismal service last Sunday. That's pretty awesome. Give God praise for that. And now over 160 views of the message here, and that's awesome. So we can celebrate that with God too, and let the folks know that are watching right now that there's a great group here. And just let me give you some encouragement. Continue to pray that God would open doors. He's just building week in and week out in hearts and lives, and that's a wonderful thing. And so it's an ongoing progress that God is working in and through us to bring glory to Christ. So continue to pray that God would move us forward in an awesome way. Continue to respond in hearts of love as you give to advance the ministry here in this local setting. That little receptacle right there on the back wall, just drop your tithes and offerings in that little red box. Those of you who are watching, let me encourage you to click on our website. That information is going to be posted shortly after this service, so you can go right to our website, and we have a PayPal there, or you can send a check to the church. Either way, it works, and we want to thank you right now for your faithfulness in giving. Folks have been giving through the PayPal, and so that's just an awesome thing to see that folks are praying and engaging in this local ministry, and so we thank the Lord for that. We're continuing in this series entitled In These Days, and today we're going to be talking about what we need to understand the times that we live in, understanding the times. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4 is the text. As I was reading this week, it's some words that God just caused to jump off the page at me, and I immediately said, I think God has a message for us in these verses. And so here's the text as recorded. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. To that, Jesus replied, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, in these next few moments, I would ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us in understanding the truth of these four verses of text found in Matthew. They are the threshold of us beginning to understand what is transpiring in our world, to understand the times. Take these truths that we find today, plant them deep in our heart and life, and allow them to take root, that they would sustain us and give us hope and encouragement in the midst of the times that we find ourselves living in, and to begin to fully understand these times and what is transpiring. For what transpires in our hearts and lives, we give you praise even now in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Chronicles 12:32, are recorded for us these words. I'll let you know what's transpiring. David is gathering together a mighty army, and men are coming to him to build an army for him. And in 1 Chronicles 12:32, the Bible says, the men of Issachar understood the times. They understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do. I submit to us today that we as God's people need to understand the times that are transpiring, and furthermore, we need to know the action that God would have us take in the midst of these times. Amen? Absolutely. Story is told of a man who was driving in the country one day, and he saw an elderly gentleman sitting on a fence rail watching the cars go by. Stopping to pass the time of day, the traveler said, I never could stand living out here. I just want to let you know, I made that statement one time, and I wound up out there where I thought no one could live, all right? You don't see anything, and I'm sure you don't travel like I do. I'm on the go all the time. And the elderly gentleman who was sitting on the fence rail looked down at the stranger, and he responded saying, I can't see much difference in what I'm doing and what you're doing. I sit on the fence during the day, and I watch the cars go by while you sit in your car and you watch the fences go by. You see, it's just the way we look at things. And I want to encourage us today, loved one, that if we are going to understand these times that we're living in, if we're going to be able to see how God is working and bringing all things to culmination, then we need to see them through the eyes of Jesus. We're not going to understand them in and of ourselves. We need the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit, opening our minds and our hearts to the reality of truth that is written in His Word, so that we can apply them effectively in the world we live, in the times that we live, for the glory of Jesus. So if you've got your outline before you, a pencil, your Bible, or simply listening, let's embark upon this thing today. In these days, understanding the times. Point number one is this. Religion does not help one understand the times. Hang on there a minute. I'll explain myself. Religion does not help one understand the times. In verse 1 of our text, the Bible tells us that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus. They came to Jesus. Klein Snodgrass, in a little work entitled Between Two Truths, Living with Biblical Tensions, offers this little story. Once, he writes, the devil was walking alone with one of his cohorts. They saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. What did he find? Asked the cohort. A piece of truth, the devil replied. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? Asked the cohort. No, said the devil. I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it. Ooh. I will see that he makes a religion out of it. The Bible tells us that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus. And we need to look at these two characters, these two distinct characters, and who they were and what they were all about, because they bear out for us the reality that religion in and of itself will not allow us to understand the times that we find ourselves in. A Pharisee was a member of an ancient Jewish sect distinguished by two specific elements. And here they are. First of all, they had strict observance of the traditional and written law. Strict observance of the law. All right? We need to be reminded of what Jesus said about the law. He said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And then he offers for us this. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That's the greatest commandment. He says the second one is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus goes on to say that all the law and the prophets hinge on these two commandments. And these Pharisees went on to add to that about 613 other laws, striving to keep themselves holy. And for every law they had, they put a different knot in their prayer shawl. So as they matured in understanding the law, they would have upwards of 613 knots in that prayer shawl. And as they would pray, every knot would remind them of the law that they had instituted upon themselves. And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Furthermore, these Pharisees, commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. And so in no way, shape, or form were they believing or understanding or embracing the fact that Jesus was fully God and fully man. They just couldn't get past that. And so you found them rebuffing Jesus and rebuking Jesus here on earth. That was one sect. The other ones were the Sadducees. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And a Sadducee was a member of a Jewish sect or party of the time in which Jesus walked on earth. And they had some distinct elements that they practiced that kept them from embracing Jesus. First of all, they denied the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in it. Therefore, they had no hope of eternal life. That's why they were sad, you see. Yeah, you're quick today. I like that. All right? Furthermore, they denied the existence of spirits. Therefore, they weren't willing to comprehend the fact that there are angels that exist. Added to that, they denied the obligation of oral tradition. How did Jesus teach his disciples? Verbally. He told stories. He took the kingdom of God and made it practical on earth. They're called parables. That's how he taught. And so they were pushing back against that. And they emphasized the acceptance of the written law alone. So they, with the Pharisees, were striving simply to look in the law. Those 613 laws that were established. Okay? 613. 613. Extra. Above and beyond. Loving the Lord God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. You see, religion will not allow us to understand the times. We need more than that. We need the righteousness of God in our hearts and our lives that transforms us. You see, being righteous, it's being made right by God, being made right by God and his power, will enable you and I to understand the times in which we live in. Hear the words of Romans 1:17, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This faith thing, this trusting in Jesus, knowing in our hearts and lives that God is present, knowing that God has touched us, knowing that God is working to transform us. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We may not see it physically, but we see it spiritually. And it's the rightness of God in us that enables us to understand the times in which we are living. Second of all, this morning, we need to understand that testing the Lord will not result in one understanding the times. I like that caption, that guy standing on the edge of a cliff. I wonder what he's getting ready to do. Anybody got any ideas? I hope he doesn't jump. I hope he doesn't provoke the Lord. Well, God's going to take care of me. I'm just going to jump off this cliff. Did you know Forrest Gump was right? Stupid is what stupid does. All right? Verse 1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Bible says, they came to Jesus and they tested him. They were pushing him. They wanted him to do something miraculous, all right? In Deuteronomy 6:16, the Bible tells us, do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. And I went back and followed that back to when that actually happened. It was in the midst of the Exodus. In Exodus 17:5-7, the Bible says, the Lord answered Moses, walk ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. The Lord said, strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah or Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord saying, is the Lord among us or not? If we are going to test the Lord and push him to accomplish something, we are never going to understand the times in which we live. We can't say to God, come on, God, if you're really here, do something. That would not bode well for us. In fact, Jesus, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, looked straight at the devil, the tempter of his soul, and he said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Accepting God's will, however, will enable you and I to understand the times in which we live. Pause just a moment, reflect just a moment, and in your mind and in your heart, speak with me these words. They come readily to us. They are known by us. They are powerful. They are true. They are words that will help us understand the times in which we are living. Our Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, it's not all about you and me, but it's about God and him and his willingness to allow us to be part of his kingdom. He is in control, despite what it may look like around us. The last time I checked, Jesus is still sitting on the throne. And that's a good thing. The Holy Spirit is still in our world, moving, active, alive, drawing men and women to himself. Putting the Lord our God to the test, loved one, will not allow us to understand the times in which we live. Humbly bowing before him and say, God, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in my life. Your will be done in your church. Your will be done in this community. Your will be done in the school. Your will be done in the PTA. Your will be done in local government. Your will be done in federal government. Despite all of the conflicts and the confusion that's going on, our God is a God of order. He's still in control. And in the midst of what is transpiring, he is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. His will being accomplished in our lives will allow us to understand the times in which we live. Thirdly, this morning, a miraculous sign from heaven. A miraculous sign from heaven will not give one a full understanding of the times. A miraculous sign is not going to allow us to understand what's happening. The Pharisees and the Sadducees there, they came to Jesus and they were asking him, they were testing him, show us a sign from heaven. And in the context of that conversation, Jesus said to them in verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign. And I'm here to submit to you today that our world is still as wicked as it was when Jesus walked the earth. Our world is still an adulterous world, the same as it was when Jesus walked the earth. In fact, I would probably be as bold as to say it's gotten a whole lot worse today than when it was when Jesus walked the earth. And I'm here to submit that a wicked and adulterous generation doesn't need a miraculous sign from heaven. A wicked and an adulterous generation needs to be transformed by Jesus' finished work on what? The cross of Calvary. That great act of love, grace, and mercy is what transforms hearts and lives. And that's what our world desperately needs if we're going to understand the times in which we live. We also need to understand the times in which we live as they progress and keep moving forward. There is coming a day when evil is going to be unleashed more than it is today. And the Bible talks about the lawless one. The lawless one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. There's going to be the coming of the lawless one, and he will be in accordance with the work of Satan. And this lawless one is going to display all kinds of counterfeit signs and miracles and wonders. And if we find ourselves still on earth when this lawless one is unleashed, we better understand what is transpiring. Amen? I'm just saying. We need to see things through the eyes of Jesus. We need to see things through a heart that's transformed. One miraculous sign is not going to do it, but a finished work of Jesus on the cross will allow us to understand those things. Testing God, pushing God to accomplish what we desire to have happen is not going to allow us to understand the times, loved one. And religion, the list of rules and regulations, will not allow us to understand the times, but a heart full of love, grace, and mercy that has been made right by God will allow us to understand the times. You all right this morning, church? Here we go. Let's keep on moving through here. This. To that end, then, note this. Embracing, watch this, a miraculous sign in the heavens will not allow us to fully understand these times. We need to make sure that we have embraced the finished work of Christ. And embracing, watch this now, embracing God's order and fulfilled prophecy. And that's what the remainder of this service is going to be about. It's God's order and his fulfilled prophecy will enable one to understand the times. Jesus communicated to them saying, when evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. We have learned that, and we've simplified that in it. Red at night, sailors delight. Red in the morn, sailors take warn. Jesus had instituted that in his order, and it continues yet today. Those of you who navigate on the water or know that very fact. And so we need to understand that our God that we serve is a God of order. His order, his plan, his timing. Point number four is this, then. It is God's order which enables one to understand the times in which we live. God's order enables one to understand the times in which we live. I like what it says on that little picture there. God of order, not confusion. I'm here to submit to you today and encourage you with this, loved one. The confusion that you read about in the news, the confusion that you see on the TV when you watch it, the things that are out of order, out of control, that are devastating, that are destroying. Can I let you in on a secret this morning? They are not of God Almighty. Take heart, loved one. Be encouraged, loved one. We need to be wise in these times, in these days in which we live. We need to make sure that our hearts have been transformed by the power of God and we are righteous before God and not living in a dead religion. We need to be living by the power of the Spirit to understand the times in which we live. Message coming next week that will be more encouragement for us. In Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 56, Jesus parallels this account, and these are his words. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, he says. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? And I found myself going way back to the book of Genesis and God's creation of this beautiful world in which we live. And God added in there for us these words in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord said this, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. I'm here to tell you, God's order and the way he does things in an orderly manner will never cease. That should be encouragement for us today in the midst of the times in which we live. But you need to understand what's coming our way. You need to understand what's coming our way. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, Peter gives us a glimpse of the reality that's coming our way. All right, you ready for this? Here it is. The Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we be? He says you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And I just want to submit to you that everything God said he will do, he will do. Amen? And then in verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, here's the encouragement and here's the direction. Make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. And I submit to you again in reinforcing that a religion will not make you spotless. A religion will not make you blameless. A religion will not allow you to have peace with Christ. But the righteousness that comes from God through the awesome, awesome outpouring of himself through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us on the cross, who died for us while we were yet sinners, accepting that grace from God and the power of the Holy Spirit, works to make us spotless and blameless and at peace with them. That's where we need to find ourselves, loved one, in these days which we live. Because being found there will allow us to understand God's order in the times that we are living. Can I get an amen on that one? Huh? Here comes number five. Number five. Not only God's order enables us to understand the times in which we live, but God's fulfilled prophecy enables us to understand the times in which we live. Verse 3, Jesus said, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. In verse 4, Jesus goes on to say, but none will be given you. No miraculous sign is going to be given you except the sign of Jonah. In Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40, Jesus expounds upon this. He says, Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to Jesus, teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus was prophesying in what would transpire. He would spend 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the big fish. That's the sign for a wicked and adulterous generation. The completed prophecy, the fulfilled prophecy that has the power to transform wickedness and adulterous actions and makes, watch this, makes saints out of sinners. Aren't you thankful for what Jesus has done? Amen? Huh? In Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14, Jesus speaks to us about the signs of the times. Jesus speaks to us about the signs of the times. He speaks to us about prophecy that has been fulfilled. He speaks to us to ready us and help us understand where we are in the context of all of this that's transpiring. Are you ready? I'm not going to read the verses. I'm going to read to you the specific prophecies that have been fulfilled. Not one stone will be left on another. Prophecy fulfilled. Jerusalem was destroyed and leveled. All right? Many will come claiming that they are the Christ. Prophecy fulfilled. Hear of wars and rumors of wars. Prophecy fulfilled. Nation will rise against nation. What's happening, folks? Prophecy fulfilled. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. Prophecy fulfilled. There will be famines. Prophecy fulfilled. There will be earthquakes in various places. Prophecy fulfilled. God followers will be persecuted. Prophecy fulfilled. God followers will be killed. Prophecy fulfilled. God followers will be hated by all nations because of Jesus. Prophecy fulfilled. Many will turn from the faith. Prophecy fulfilled. Many will betray one another. Prophecy fulfilled. Many will hate one another. Prophecy fulfilled. Many false prophets. Prophecy fulfilled. Many people will be deceived. Prophecy fulfilled. There will be an increase of wickedness. Woe. Prophecy fulfilled. Love of most will grow cold. Prophecy fulfilled. Not a whole lot of people hanging out in churches in our times. This gospel will be preached in the whole world. I got to believe, church, that this one has been fulfilled as well. If not, we would be extremely close of having it accomplished. And then I thought, with all of the technology in the world today, all the technology anywhere, everywhere, the word of God can be preached to the whole world. After citing all of this for his apostles, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, he said, then the end will come. I got to believe in the world in which we live, loved one, the world in which we live, in these days, understanding the times, that there's been a whole lot of prophecy that's been fulfilled, and we are on the threshold, loved one, of his return. We ought to get excited about that, okay? I'm just saying. We ought to be ready for that. We ought to be, as Peter proclaimed, people that are striving to be spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Because when he comes back, it's going to be like a thief in the night. You're not going to know when he shows up. He's just going to show up, and he's going to be there, and he's going to be gone, all right? There's a sad commentary in this text that we shared this morning in Matthew 16, and it comes in verse 4, and the Bible offers for us saying this: Jesus then left them and went away. I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus to leave me. I don't want to be left behind, all right? I want to be up to date, on time, ready, looking, watching, and waiting for my Lord to return. I want to be striving to live by the love, grace, and mercy that Jesus talks about in his word. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and aware of what is transpiring around me. Though this world out there is spinning around, going out of control, I want to be found in my lane, walking with Christ, anointed and empowered with his very presence, saying the words that he wants to say, doing what he wants me to do when he wants me to do it, because he's coming back. He's coming back for people who are prepared for him, who are looking for him, who are watching for him, and are ready to be jettisoned out of here to be with him forever and ever and ever. And all of God's people said, amen. In Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. If God the Father is the only one who knows when this is going to happen, not one of us has the ability to make a chart, dot an I, cross a T, and say, yep, it's going to happen now. What we have as evidence is God's eternal truth that he spoke to us, and he said, these are going to be the signs of the times. As this thing is winding down, we're going to see these things transpire. And the longer I look into this book, the more prophecy I see that's been fulfilled. It is getting close. What say we, church? Let's be ready. Amen? In Matthew 24:42, Jesus said, therefore, keep watch. Keep watch. Be alert. Be on guard. Don't be snoozing. Finish this statement for me. If you snooze, you what? We don't want to lose, church. Jesus said, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Hear what Jesus says in the book of Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed, watch this. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. We preach and we teach the truth of God. My opinion will not get you to heaven. Dead religion will not get you to heaven. The eternal word of God, spoken by the Holy Spirit to your hearts and your life, received from him, is the power that transforms you and will allow you to make it to heaven. The last time I checked, Jesus said, I am the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven except through me. We need to know this word, because in this word we find life, and we find liberty, and we find grace and mercy and love that readies us, and prepares us, enables us to face the days in which we are living and to understand the times in which we are living. So church, what say we? In these days, let's come to understand the times in which we're living by keeping the words of the prophecy of his book. Amen? Stand with me if you would, please. Lord Jesus, you stirred us today in the truth found in four simple verses of Scripture, helping us to get the right perspective on these days, to understand the times in which we live. So, Father, my prayer is that each of us who have heard, each of us who will hear the proclamation of your truth, would embrace your truth and allow the Holy Spirit to ready us for the coming of Christ. No one knows when that will be. Only God the Father does. But we have been challenged. We've been commanded to be watchful, to be mindful, to be ready. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Do that very thing. Transform us, Lord, that we would find ourselves being watchful, mindful, understanding, and ready for your coming. And as we sang earlier, it will be a glorious day. Help us to continue to strive to walk in your righteousness for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One simple little chorus kind of culminates everything that we've been sharing this morning. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Let's sing it together. So, God, as you allow your Spirit to fall fresh upon us this day, as you cover us with your benediction, dismissing us from this service but not from your presence, allow us to go forth in these days, understanding the times in which we are living. May our lives bring glory to Christ as we anticipate that day when we will see you face to face and be welcomed into your kingdom, your eternal kingdom, forevermore. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. You are dismissed.